Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
Here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible, where we take you through the Bible slowly and methodically. We have a lot of fun. It's okay to have fun in God's Word. In fact, it's some of the funnest times I've ever had is reading this book. It's different than what most people say. You know, they get very solemn and stately, but you know, this is God's Word. He's the God of love and joy. It's okay to have fun with it. There's a lot of funny things in here. God has an amazing sense of humor. This book is not what you've been led to believe. There are things in here that organized religion has softened. I didn't want you to realize, didn't want you to know. Like this is at least the second time around for this earth. And if you see that in black and white and you understand that, it ties science and the Bible together completely. You know, yes, those fossils are millions of years old. And yes, this Adamic line, these people that are here now, have only been here about 9,000 years. And yes, there was a flood. There were two floods, according to Jeremiah. He records the first one where God put out the sun. He didn't do that in Noah's flood. He said the earth was void and without form, darkness covered the face. You turn from there to Genesis. It says, and the earth was dark and void, and the earth was void, and waters covered the face and dark. And God said, let there be light, for at least the second time. Ties it all together. Satan had reasons for keeping science and the Bible at odds. Because, you know, you can't dispute the fossils. I know these Christian apologists try to do it all the time. Oh, the flood created such drastic pressures on the earth that these things are, they appear to be millions of years old, but they're not. Yeah, no, they are. There's a lot of things in here the religion hasn't told you, because the men have not thoroughly read this Bible. I've read this Bible over 100 times through, and other portions hundreds and hundreds of times. And every time I get in here, God shows me something different. And I'm not going to tell you that it's in here if I can't back it up in black and white. Catch episode 1 on WVFFradio.com and catch up. Read episode 1, and if you're not convinced there are things in here that haven't been told to you, then don't read any further, you know. But I hope you come along with us on this journey. It's a wonderful thing, and I'm not saying I know all the mysteries in this book. I've only read the book over 100 times. Maybe when I get to 1,000, I'll know a fraction of the mysteries in this book. But I don't think any one person could study. There was a monk in the 12th century who studied the book of Genesis in its original language. And he came to the conclusion there are 10 dimensions in life. We're talking about things that cannot be seen just from reading the book of Genesis. Mm-hmm. And in the last 20 years, world physics through the super collider over in Europe have come to the conclusion that there are at least 10 dimensions in life. They can see them minutely through the processes of the super collider. I do believe they've accessed a few of them. There's a lot of evil stuff goes on over there surrounding that building. A lot of serious Satanism and paganism. They've released some dark things out of there by accessing these other dimensions, but that's another whole story there. But there's a lot of things in here that religion hadn't told you. You know, there were two accounts of creation. God created man and woman, created him male and female on the sixth day, created them. There's, you gotta look at single words, them. He created them, and then he rested on the seventh day. And then sometimes later, maybe hundreds of years, there's a gap there, we don't know. He says, oh, there's no man to till the garden. He's talking about his temple, the Garden of Eden, which Jeremiah said had become a wilderness after the first flood. He said, there's no man to till the garden. He said he took the dust of the earth and created Adam. Male and female created he them, one being, and called their name Adam. There's a lot between the lines. There were two children in the womb of Eve. Two different fathers, believe it or not. It's all in there. When Adam's second son was born, Seth, after Cain killed Abel, the Bible takes a moment to say, and Adam had another son, and his name was Seth, and this one was in his likeness. You got to look at everything. But what we're seeing here, this whole Bible is about the heart. God never excluded anyone. Anyone, not just the Hebrew line. Those were the offspring of his Adamic line. His priest that he had created, Adam, just to tend the garden, was never meant to procreate. The other two were the ones out there replenishing the earth. Have you seen that word in Genesis? Created them male and female and said, go and replenish the earth. Tells you right there, it had been here before. But Adam's line was never meant to procreate. And when they fell from grace, yes, he said, go out. And he wanted to bring them back into the fold one day. It's going to be a long, drawn-out process, which God orchestrates all through this Bible. The original covenant he gave to Abraham was not the Ten Commandments. I know what your pastor told you, but he doesn't quite understand. The original covenant was, follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. One is the spirit man, subjecting this body to follow God, getting control of this mind that the Bible says is contrary to the will of God, and this flesh, which is an abomination, and the circumcision is an outwardly expression that you belong to God. Children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, could not do that. They could not follow God with their heart. That's all God wants, is your heart. He doesn't want your money. He has your heart, and he has your time. That's all he wants. So they couldn't follow the original covenant. It was too easy. So God laid the law on them. The law is a binding, carnal thing. Things you must do with your hands. You can become sinful accidentally. You can become sinful and not even know it. God never intended it that way, but they wouldn't do it the easy way. So like a good father, you ever go into your child's room and say, all right, you won't do it the easy way. Now we're going to do it the hard way. I'm going to give you things so hard for you to do that you'll cry out for my original covenant again. And he sent the Messiah to reestablish the original covenant. Jesus says, follow me and be baptized. And if you follow me and be baptized, you've completed all that was ever asked. It's so easy. And I tell you what, Christian, if you follow Christ and you hold on to the law, you're telling the Messiah, who went through that horrible torture for you and all the sin that you laid on him, and I, you're telling him that it just wasn't quite good enough. You know, I love the fact you're going to give me eternal life, Jesus, but you know what? Unless I keep the Sabbath or one of the other regulations in the law, I just don't feel holy enough. Telling the Savior of mankind his sacrifice just wasn't good enough. So the children of Israel come out of Egypt. God says, Moses and Joshua, they all say, when you go into the land, wipe it clean of all these people, because these people had the seed of the serpent. I told you there were two children in the womb, the serpent seed and the woman seed. God said so right there when he dealt out punishment in the garden. You ever wonder where the serpent seed came from? Cain was the first of them. Well, all these other people out here were intermixed with the serpent seed. They had gotten with those other two, and now they were all intermixed. We all are now. God didn't want his priestly line mixing with those people. He tried to keep it as holy as possible because he knew one day he would bring the Messiah, and he would have to have a perfect, like the Bible said Noah was. Noah's lineage was perfect. There was no pollution in there. There was no mixture in there. He knew he would need a perfect line to bring the Messiah into this world and do all that he can do to preserve it. Well, the children of Israel didn't listen like they never do. They didn't throw the people out, so now they're all mixed. God told them, if you mix with these people, you will have trouble. It will be a curse to you. Well, the nation of Israel didn't last no time. It's falling apart, broke into civil war. And the book of Judges ends with the statement that there was no king in the land, which meant moral guidance. The king deals out moral guidance. There was never a king up to this point. They tried to elect themselves a couple, but it didn't work. There was no king in the land, and every man did what was right in his own eyes. That means God's rules were out the door. So we're getting here, and we're into Samuel now. And we're on the threshold of the first earthly king for the nation of Israel. God never wanted them to have a king. He wanted to dwell among them in his tabernacle and be their king. But they were just too disobedient. They couldn't do it. So we're in chapter 6. Chapter 6 of the book of 1 Samuel. And the ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines 7 months. Philistines called for the priests and the diviners, saying, "What shall we do to the ark of the Lord? Tell us wherewith we shall send it to his place." You remember from that last episode, the Israelis went out to fight against the Philistines. And you got to remember, Israelis are far from God. And the battle didn't go so well for them the first day. They said, "Oh, wait a minute here. You remember that golden box that..."
Yeah.
That Moses, I heard stories, Moses never used to take it out ahead of the army, and man, we didn't even lose a single soldier.
Nope.
Yeah, what was the name of that golden box?
I think it was like the Ark or something.
The Ark of the Covenant. Yeah.
It'll save us.
You guys got that still? Is it in the warehouse somewhere? Yeah, I think that's the thing behind the veil in the tabernacle. Well, go get that thing. It'll save us. Yeah. It will save us, is what they said. Not God. So they bring out the ark. They put it out there, and the Philistines overrun the Israelis and take their ark. And then we go through all that comedy that God has an amazing sense of humor. The Philistines took the ark, and every city they took it to, everyone broke out in hemorrhoids.
Across the entire city.
The entire city broke out in hemorrhoids. So that city would say, "Hey, let's give it to the next city. Let's get it out of here." So they moved to the next city. They all break out in hemorrhoids. do unto your neighbor as you would not like him to do unto you?
That's it, I guess.
So now they've had it for 7 months, and they're saying, "We got to get rid of it. Mm-hmm. What shall we do with it? Mm-hmm. It can't stay here. I haven't sat down in 7 months."
And another funny part is their God...
Dagon, bowing
to it.
Yeah, they took the ark and they set it in front of their statue of their god Dagon. And the next morning, it was bowed down. Dagon was on his face, and so they set him up. You know, they figured it was an earthquake or something happened.
Yep.
Nobody felt it, but it must have been an earthquake. Next day, Dagon's hands and neck are cut off, and he's laying on his face again. So the Philistines fear God more than the Israelis do at this point. So they got the ark, and what do we do with it? And they say, verse 3, and they said, "If you send away the ark of God of Israel, send it not empty." See, they fear the God of heaven.
Mm-hmm. Give it an offering.
Yes. "But in any wise return him a trespass offering. Then ye shall be healed, and it shall be known to you why his hand is not removed from you." Even the heathen could find redemption with God. God never excluded anyone. Sure, the Israelites were his chosen people, but all along the way, he said if anyone out from the outer nations wants to be a part, all he has to do is come in and follow me with his heart and be circumcised. God never excluded anyone. Even Cain, when his offering was not from his heart, God said to him when he got mad and disjointed, he said, "What's wrong, Cain? Didn't you know there's redemption even for you? Even for you, seed of the serpent, even for you there's redemption."
After the murder.
Yes, like, after the murder. Yeah, a good point. Then they said, "What shall be the trespass offering which ye shall return to him?" They answered, 5 golden emrods, which we understand to be hemorrhoids. So they apparently got somebody to model for the...
That whole thing is still weird to me.
Model for the sculptor.
Yeah.
All right, Billy Bob, get up there.
Just some soft sand, buddy. It'll be comfy, I promise.
Oh, I got this picture in my head of the sculptor there and the model for the hemorrhoid. Oh, man. 5 golden hemorrhoids and 5 golden mice, according to the number of the lords of the Philistines. For one plague was on you all and on all your lords. Wherefore ye shall make images of your emrods, your hemorrhoids, and images of your mice that mar the land. Yeah, that was another thing that happened along with the hemorrhoids. The mice kind of invaded. Ye shall give glory unto God of Israel for adventure, or pretend he will lighten his hand from off you, and from off your gods, and from off your land. Maybe he'll glue Dagon's head back on.
Yeah.
Wherefore then do ye harden your hearts, as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts? When he had wrought wonderful among them, did they not let the people go, and they departed? You know, we see the Philistines quoting things that happened to Israel when they were leaving Egypt several times here now.
Almost like they know it better than them.
They do know it better than them, Jonathan. At this point, the Israelis have become self-centered. Now therefore, make a new cart and take 2 milch kine on which there hath come no yoke, and tie the kine to the cart and bring their calves home from them. Take the ark of the Lord and lay it upon the cart, and put the jewels of gold which he returned him for a trespass offering in a coffer by the side thereof, and send it away that it may go and see if it goeth up by the way of his own coast of Beth Shemesh. And he hath done us this great evil. But if not, then we shall know that it is not his hand that smote us. It was a chance that happened to us. All right, so hitch it up, put the offering on it, and send it away. And if it goes in this area, we'll know that it was him. And if it doesn't, we'll know it was not him. And the men did so, and took 2 milch kine, and tied them to the cart, and shut up their calves at home. They laid the ark of the Lord upon the cart, and the coffer with the mice of gold and the images of the emrods. And the kine took the straight way to the way of Beth Shemesh, and went along the highway, lowering as they went. So they didn't even point it in any direction. They hooked it up and got away from it.
Yep.
And turned not aside to the right hand or to the left, and the lords of the Philistines went after them unto the border of Beth Shemesh. And they of Beth Shemesh were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley. They lifted up their eyes and saw the ark, and rejoiced to see it. And the cart came into the field of Joshua, a Beth Shemite, and stood there, where there was a great stone, and they clave the wood to the cart, and offered the kine a burnt offering unto the Lord. And the Levites took down the ark of the Lord, and the coffer that was with it, wherein the jewels of gold were, and put them on the great stone. And the men of Beth Shemesh offered burnt offerings and sacrifices the same day unto the Lord. So the Israelites were rejoicing that the Ark of the Covenant had come back. When the 5 lords of the Philistines had seen it, they returned to Ekron the same day. And those are the golden emerald. And these are the golden emeralds which the Philistines returned for a trespass offering unto the Lord. For Ashdod 1, for Gaza 1, for Ashkelon 1, for Gath 1, for Ekron 1, all the cities that were plagued by mice and hemorrhoids. And the golden mice, according to the number of all the cities of the Philistines belonging to the 5 lords, both of fenced cities and of country villages, even unto a great stone of Abel, wherein they set down the ark of the Lord, which stone remaineth unto this day in the field of Joshua the Bethshemite. And he smote the men of Beth Shemesh, because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. Even he smote of the people 50,710 men. You know, they rejoiced the ark of the covenant had come back, but it was forbidden to do that. They don't know the law anymore, but they still live under the law because they invited the law into their houses and into their homes by not following God with all their heart. So, if you live under the law, you better know the law. And that's what Moses said when he wrote the Book of Remembrance. Remember the law. You're living by the law. You will be cursed by the law, or you'll be blessed by the law. So, yeah, oh, we're happy. And then they all looked into it, and there are 50,000 of them die. And the people lamented because the Lord had smitten many of the people with a great slaughter. Now they might start thinking, wow, we need to figure this out. We need to get back into the law and figure out why this happened. And the men of Beth Shemesh said, who is able to stand before this holy Lord God? To whom shall he go up for us? And they sent messengers to the inhabitants of Kirjath-Jearim, saying, the Philistines have brought again the ark of the Lord. Come ye down and fetch it up here. Get it out of here, boys. Get the Levites down here. Get this thing out of here.
Yeah.
Chapter 7, book of 1 Samuel, here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible. WBFF 97.7. And the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill and sacrificed Eleazar his son to and sanctified Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. Okay, somebody knew enough to sanctify the priest before he dealt with it. Right. Otherwise, that priest would have been dead.
7 days.
And it came to pass while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, with all your hearts. The underlying theme of this Bible is God wants your heart. Then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only. And he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. And the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth, and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpeh, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. They gathered together to Mizpeh, and drew water, and poured it out before the Lord, and fasted on that day, and said, well, there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpeh. When the Philistines heard the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpeh, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. When the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. The children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord, to the Lord our God for us, that we will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. Okay, Jonathan, who are they asking for help from now?
No, they're straight up asking God instead of the box.
Instead of the golden box?
Yeah.
Golden box didn't work out too good, did it?
No, it wasn't so hot. No.
And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering holy unto the Lord. Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. Now, I'm not belittling the Ark of the Covenant. Mm-mm. The Ark of the Covenant is a symbol of God. Mm-hmm. A symbol that God is with you. But if you don't invite God along and you take the Ark of the Covenant, it's not going to do you any value. In fact, it worked against them. Mm-hmm. God is the purpose, not the golden box, the Ark of the Covenant.
Right.
And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel, but the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines, and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. The men of Israel went out to Mizpeh and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Bethkar. And Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpeh and Shin, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned.